Here we go with a brand new day, day 201, 164 days remain. There had been a countdown, too, when it came to budget. And this countdown involved money and seeing the release money. Because the money was there, and the money had, but it had to have a pathway.
Yes.
Now, here's the interesting thing, as SIU President Randy Dunn joins us this morning. Higher education says they've got $1.1 billion to distribute to the universities.
Yes.
What's
happy
your,
day.
What portion do you think will be SIU's?
Well, we know that SIU is going to end up with about a 10% cut from what it had in our last normal year, which was fiscal year 2015. The year for budget purposes runs July to June. So in 15, the SIU system would get about $200 million. That was our last normal year. We'll take a 10% cut. We're just a little under 180. I think we're 179 and change, something like that.
What do you do with that money, Randy?
We distribute that across all of the campuses and locations based upon kind of the traditional formula for what goes to Carbondale, what goes to Edwardsville School of Medicine, as well as what we call university-wide operations. That's important. It helps run the president's office and other central services. So we use that little less than 180 as part of the $1 billion SIU budget. It's obviously a pretty important revenue stream. If somebody said on your household budget you were going to lose 20%, I understand it's not the majority, it's not the lion's share, but that's still a big hole in the budget. So we're quite grateful to get it and glad we've gotten at least past this stage where we didn't know what was going to happen the last time you and I talked.
Have you gotten the money yet? Or you,
yeah, we actually are seeing the money flow. So
good.
You don't want me to get in the weeds on this, and the listeners really don't. But there's actually something called the Education Assistance Fund. And every time income taxes get paid into the state of Illinois, they divert a small portion of that into a fund, the EAF. And that's been building over time. Now, typically what would happen when it comes time to pay us, they'll empty out that fund, put it in the general fund, and send that money out. But there was actually the purpose of kind of relating all this stuff. There was a pool of money that was available because this,
about this small amount,
$316 million. You know about it, was getting set aside from each inflow of taxes. So that gave us a reservoir to start with so that this money could get paid out. So yes, we've seen a payment that's come as of this week. We expect to see MAP money. You'll recall that we fronted that during this crisis. We expect to see that come next, possibly even the end of this week or early next week. So, yes, the tap has been turned on, and we're getting some of those funds coming to us. Now I will say this. You're going to see that education assistance fund get pulled down as all of the state universities, community colleges are getting this first taste of state funding. Then, you know, we're going to be part of all the other vendors or all the other agencies in line. And I do worry a little bit about how cash flow will go as we start out of this crisis.
Now, one of the other items here is that I'm hearing this. I'd heard this a lot two or three, 4 years ago. Now I'm hearing it again. Pushing the responsibility to pensions on the local level.
Yes.
Are you hearing this too?
Yeah, so there is actually a small element that has us picking up a share for highly compensated employees. You know, we had some discussion in various legislative proposals that we might see a shift on employee health care costs. So there are some reform elements that are in there. Nothing as drastic maybe as what had been portended in earlier discussions. But I would... As I say, Tom, I predict everything except the future. But I think as we see future annual budgets come and go, we continue to talk about the reforms that need to take place. We're probably going to see some shifting of costs, whether we're talking to school districts, whether we're talking to the community colleges
right.
and the universities, as we seek to find a way to get this state budget better balanced. And right now it's just little tweaking. So if you talk to our friends in the municipalities, for instance, Brad Cole, who's executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, one of the things that wasn't really well known is that in the local distribution, of tax dollars that go back to towns and cities, for instance, there's now a little, I think it's a 2% handling charge. And nobody really knows about that, and the towns and cities are still
except
getting their monies. But
except our listeners, we did 20 minutes with Brad Cole on Monday.
So it's stuff like that, right?
And
that,
then the gas
takes
tax.
Place. That's right.
Right. And it, you know, but it's out of skimming.
But
it's,
you know,
skimming on, it's skimming the taxes.
But you know, one person's challenge like that is another person's benefit in some cases. So, for instance, there was a very buried change in how wholesale taxes on ethanol are getting calculated.
That's
so
right.
that provided some additional funding. Well, at the SIU Edwardsville campus, where we operate the National Corn to Ethanol Research Center, we ended up getting $1 million in a directed appropriation to pick up some of the research work to try to bring back the ethanol industry, which, by the way, is coming back. That's a whole other show. But, you know, there are things that we have to do in this state, and we're trying to see if we can get the revenue to accomplish it.
Very often when you and I were speaking, there was something that you said that caught my imagination, but I never knew where it was going. You said people were going to have to, we're going to have a very different college, a very different university going forward.
Right.
And I'd always thought that was cuts and
yeah,
reshaping.
Right, right.
But I think that all along when you were talking about that, you knew what was going to happen. You saw the writing on the wall that 7 programs or more programs were going to have
well,
to
that's
go.
The
that was always
list.
The subtext.
Right, right.
And now here we are. Were
right.
people shocked about these 7 programs, or did they see it as inevitable and that you had softened its landing by your comments?
Tom, I'm not sure. Obviously, I'm reading the comments and the things that get posted like everybody else. I think there was an awareness on campus with, and you're referring actually to the SIU Carbondale campus financial sustainability plan that our board adopted last week at their meeting in Springfield. And essentially what that did was to show $19 million in permanent cuts. We did then an additional roughly $7 million in one-time givebacks to get through this year, but then we're going to keep building that savings of the $7 million for future years based upon savings in the academic programs. That is to say, we're going to look at those degree programs, and we have probably too many of them at SIU Carbondale, well over 200. So we're going to look at those programs that are going to have a challenging time with viability, either because they're not getting enough students enrolled, they're not producing enough degrees. It could be that the labor market is changing and there may not be quite as much currency for some of the programs. We're still going to do what a comprehensive university does, right?
Right.
We're still going to teach.
Engineers,
yeah,
lawyers.
Well, and even in the arts and humanities. We're not, you know, as I say, we're not community colleges. We're comprehensive universities. So we're still going to do things, and good people get jobs. Let me just say that to folks who are saying, well, why do we still teach art? Or what's the purpose of history? Good people with good degrees from great schools still find positions with these degrees. Now, that's my little rant. Let's come back to the topic. It's clear that we have to reduce the number of degree programs to fit with the number of students we have. Look at what's getting enrollment. Look at where there is production, if I can use such a crass business term,
potential
with
growth.
Regard to the university,
potential growth,
and I know people at the university kind of don't like this term, and I don't know that I do either. But we needed a right sizing on the academic program offerings, given the number of students we have. If you look at schools like SIU Carbondale, carrying 220, 230 degree programs is too much, and we need to get that pulled down. So what we're doing. Not because we don't like these programs or think they're important or don't like the faculty who teach them or anything else, but rather we've got to figure out a way to make good decisions about how we go forward and decide which programs stay and which programs maybe we don't support in the future. So part of this financial sustainability plan was to have a means by which to review or analyze all of these degree programs, all the way from an associate degree in the College of Applied Science and Arts up to PhD programs.
You've
every
been
one
doing
of those,
this for a while.
Every one of those programs is going to get pushed through that filter, that analysis, and we're going to see where our challenges are. Now, the programs we listed in that plan that the board approved last week,
right.
Essentially what we've done there is to suspend admissions, and we can see right now that the numbers around enrollment and productivity are going to be very, very challenged. We don't have to take those programs and push them through our computer algorithm that was built by a couple of real brainiacs on this campus to analyze these programs. We can see almost at face value that those programs are struggling. So we listed them to say these are probably the seven we begin with, seven or eight, whatever it was, given kind of the face value of what we see. But we didn't even say with absolute 100% certainly that they're closing. It's just the case we needed to put down an early marker to say it's probably time to suspend admissions till we see what's going to happen with these things. And then we're also going to be pushing all the other degree programs through this kind of analytic algorithm to see which ones are going to be really challenged for the future. Some of them we may keep because that nobody else is doing it, for instance, or it gives us a draw or a kind of a special signature area that belongs just to us. But for the most part, we've put it off. We've put it off for years at this campus, and it's time now that we take these on, have a judicious, thoughtful way to do a review. You know, at the university, we're going to talk about it forever, but forever is 1 year. So we're at the point.
Seems like forever.
Well, it has been forever, but now we do what we call in the university community a quantitative review, the numbers review, and that's going to happen.
That's the one.
I mean, we're
like.
Ready to go. We're ready to. We are flipping that switch. But then we'll have some discussions on it too. And make those final decisions. But it's got to be through this year because we need the savings from that to hit starting July 1 of 18.
Right. So that's why you cut yourself down to a year.
Yes.
And so what you have here now is a program of how to take care of the university.
Yes.
Keep the grass watered.
Yes.
Keep us moving forward.
Yes.
Get some stability. Re-encourage people to come here that we're going to be here. Outreach program and faculty. Where did the hiring of the new chancellor come in to the items that are going on? How did his selection, your endorsement, come out of what's going on around you?
You know, I think where the board ended up as they ultimately made the decision to move forward with Dr. Montemagno, I think it was driven in large part by the fact that, given all the things we've been talking about, we have this kind of reshaping of the university taking place. Not, you know, I don't want to be overly dramatic about this, but as we decide to let some programs go, as we've had to make decisions on the non-instructional activities of the university and how we do those things, including public service and regional projects, as we're having to kind of rethink all of this, in large part, let's be honest, driven by the state budget crisis. It's a crisis that's forced some things we've needed to do on the campus for a number of years. As that reshaping, rethinking, that morphing of SIU Carbondale has taken place, I do think there was this clarion call for someone who could kind of take all that's going on and get a vision set forth on where the university goes from here. And I'll tell you and listeners, as they get a chance to meet Carlo, if nothing else, the guy's got a vision and he's passionate about where he wants to take the university. And he's going to go through a pretty quick exercise that really starts before he begins as chancellor on August 15th to kind of gather data, do some group conversation. But this is not going to take more than about 3 months. We're not going to have a 3-year visioning exercise. He's going to get in, use some web-based approaches, survey stuff, and he says, we're going to get that defined and go. And I think what for many of the faculty members, I think certainly the majority of our board, the fact to take all of that's going on, changing right now, morphing in front of us as we have to make these decisions that reshape the university. Here's a guy that can take it, kind of put it back together in a vision for where we go. A big piece of that. This guy is actually, in terms of his disciplinary background or his academic background, he's a Nobel quality guy. He's a nano engineer, you know, engineer of microscopically small parts and engines.
I love him already.
He does a lot of this work in bioengineering, so he gives speeches to medical doctors and things like that on these small parts that are going to help keep us alive, Tom. But the challenge he now has, and he's been very successful in leading colleges of engineering. He runs actually a provincial lab up in Canada now. He's an American, but he went to work at the University of Alberta to run this provincial or statewide laboratory for them on engineering. The challenge he has now, can he take this talent that he's shown and translate that to the university as a whole? And I think, obviously, it was very convincing to many people as he interviewed to say, this is a game changer. Let's run.
All right. So Terry Bryant went on the House floor, made an impassioned speech.
It was an awesome floor speech.
About the yes. budget. She's taken major grief.
Yes, she has.
And she came out and she said, I'm voting with my heart and
yes.
because of SIU.
And she actually used a line. It came about as close to bringing a tear to my eye as anything does. And she said, help me. I think she said, save my university or help me help my university. That was part of her floor speech. It showed tremendous courage. In fact, in public comments I was asked to give to media afterward, I called it a heroic action. And I still believe this. Now, I'm not going to dive into the middle of the politics of people who are flaming Terry Bryant and all of that. But at some point, there has to be revenue to keep this state going. And if people in Southern Illinois think that we're going to have the services, the support from the state that are necessary to keep this region strong without figuring out a way to provide revenue that accommodates that, they're in la-la land. And again, I don't like tax increases any better than anyone else. But we were at a point in this state where we had to get a deal done to get a budget figured out, to have revenue be part of that, and to get some level of stasis back to the state. Now, as we go from here, obviously, we're going to have continued reform discussions. We're going to look at the types of things that we do. And I'm thinking more in higher ed here. The types of things we do as a state that support the various sectors of our enterprise, whether it's higher education, whether it's health care, whether it's corrections, whether it's whatever. And I'm all for that. We need to. But to think that you can starve a state like Illinois and have a good outcome is not the case. And I think Terry, along with, I might add, numerous other House members who happen to be on that side of the aisle, who have state universities in their districts, also joining in that vote. So I think there were a number of folks who saw that the time had come that some decisions had to get made, and this is not to hit on anybody who didn't vote for that. I have great respect for all of our elected officials. I couldn't do it, Tom. I could not.
Well, I say the same thing about your job.
But everybody has to make their decision, we have great respect for Representative Bryant for taking the stand on that particular vote.
Before I let you go, you and I have been talking about this a long time. We've been watching. You've been, in state government, higher education in the state of Illinois. You've seen this. You didn't fall off the cabbage wagon yesterday.
I still learn every day, but I've seen a few things.
Are you relieved now? Was this like passing a kidney stone? What is this?
There's a good analogy. Yeah, I am relieved because, and I think we shared it the last time I was on, which, by the way, seems like it was 2 days ago, but, time flies. We were at a point where if this didn't pass, there was going to be, and you've heard me use this kind of analogy before, we were going to just start cutting off limbs of the SIU system if we didn't see something come out of this budget push
right.
at the end of June. If it didn't, well, of course, it took till early July to get it done. But my last round of budget testimony was that last week in June, before the entire House. The House met as a committee of the whole, and a number of us went up and testified. And I, usually you kind of script that stuff out a little bit. I don't read from a script in budget testimony, but you have some pretty good bullets, and, you're not sitting out there just going, da-da-da-da.
Right.
You plan what you want to say. I really, though, just did set aside that script that day and tried to speak from the heart a little more about what this was going to mean for SIU and the things that we did that we were just going to stop doing. And I trust me, that speech didn't get the deal done. I'm not saying that or the speech of any other president. But I think there was this accumulated understanding that we were at the point where if this didn't get figured out, this being the state budget, if this didn't get figured out, here at the end of June, early July, we were going to start flipping switches that were going to take a long time to get turned off, and they would not be good for, in our case, Southern Illinois. So, yes, I am relieved.
Yeah, I kind of get that sense.
You get it.
I do. Well, I can actually tell from your bearing. No, seriously.
A little more bounce in my step.
That's right. You carry stuff around like that, it starts to kind of get to you a little point. There's no way that it can't, at least not if you're paying attention and you care about what you're doing.
Yeah, I understand.
SIU President Randy Dunn, as always. You know, I wanted to talk about the eclipse. Maybe we can get back together.
We're having one, and it's coming together. In fact, you know, I'm
it's free.
That's right. You know, well, you got to pay to park. Yes, you just ran the store.
I live here. I don't have to pay parking. That's
exactly
right.
So, what I'm doing this month is being an acting chancellor for a month until a month.
That's right.
Dr. Caldwell's contract had come to an end, his appointment. And, you know, by the way, we hired him as vice president in the system because we had a vacancy there.
Academic Affairs?
He's Academic Affairs vice president. He'd do a great job on that. We hadn't been able to fill it because of the budget stuff. Work was building up behind the dam, so we've got him doing that work. But I'm acting chancellor for a month and obviously trying to keep track of all the eclipse stuff that the campus is responsible for. I think we're pretty well there. It's all this last-minute stuff, but it's going to be a big-time fun party.
It's going to be a big one.
Yep.
SIU President Randy Dunn.